Moncrief on News Talk.
WeWork is an American company based on the not uncommon idea of shared workplaces for freelancers and the self-employed. But what was unusual was how singularly successful it was in the US. At one point, the company was valued at $47 billion. But the apparent success gave way to hubris. Some people at the company claimed that it aimed to elevate the world's consciousness and might even cure world hunger. Things changed dramatically after a disastrous public share offering in 2019. Jeff Rothstein tells the story in WeWork, or the making and breaking of a $47 billion unicorn. And Jeff joins us now on News Talk. Jeff, good afternoon to you.
Hi, good afternoon to you. It's Jed, by the way.
Oh, sorry. Apologies, Jed.
That's okay.
So a lot of the story, I suppose, focuses on Adam Neumann. Tell us something about him.
Well, Adam was very charismatic, and he also was the kind of archetype of the classic American hustler. And I mean that in sort of the best way. He came to America. He was an immigrant from Israel. He tried a bunch of businesses, everything from shoes for women with collapsible heels to clothes for babies with knee pads. They both failed. And then he hit on this idea of renting out, subleasing out office space. So in a way, he was really, he really epitomizes this sort of New York dream or American dream of just coming and hustling and starting a business and making it. And it just got bigger and bigger and bigger.
But it seemed to be, because it's quite a humdrum idea, renting out office space and then subletting it to people. It seems to be more the way he marketed it to people, that it was almost like a lifestyle choice.
Exactly. He kind of created an entire worldview around it, that you weren't just part of you weren't just renting desk space somewhere, you were part of a community, and that community was working to make the world a better place, and you were going to change the world, and you were, at one point he was saying they were going to end the problem of orphans and take on all sorts of gigantic problems. So it gave, as you say, a rather humdrum business a lot more meaning. And I think for a lot of his clients and a lot of the people that worked there, the millennials, it was important for them to feel like they were part of something bigger than themselves, and he really sold them that.
Yeah, and so it was very much of its time then.
It was very much of its time. I think of the story as kind of a fable from the era that just ended, in a way. And as we emerge from coronavirus and kind of remake so many things in our world, I think it's really instructive to look back. It's almost, even though really this took place only a couple of years ago now, it feels like you're looking back through the looking glass to another earlier time when everything was different. And I think we can take both the good and the bad from the crazy sort of Icarus-like journey that Adam and WeWork took.
And now, I did allude to this in the introduction, when they came close to a public offering that turned out to be a bit of a disaster. Was the company ever in profit then before that?
They were profitable early on. I think it's hard, you know, because they haven't gone public yet, it's hard to understand completely all the numbers, because private companies can be, don't have to publish as many financials as public companies. But the problem became later on that they began to redefine profitability, and they came up with new metrics like community adjusted EBITDA and different ways of calculating what profit meant. And when they had to publish that S-1, it turned out they were really losing enormous amounts of money. I think at that point they were losing about $2 billion a year. So one of our commentators in the film says they were losing so much money, it's like they were crashing two private jets into a mountainside every week. I mean, they were just burning through cash, and that was a pretty big problem for a business proposition.
And what accounted for a lot of the burning through cash? Wasn't there a point at which he himself was given $6 billion for the word "we" or something?
$6 million. $6 million.
Yeah.
Yes. There were some arrangements that really benefited him and his inner circle, certainly. But I think the bigger reason that they were losing so much money is that they, at one point, were invested in by SoftBank, the SoftBank Vision Fund, and Masayoshi Son, who is the most renowned and largest tech investment fund in the world. And his story is really interesting because he believes that we're all going to be controlled by artificial intelligence in about 20 years. So his investing strategy is based on companies that can dominate their market. In order to do that, he pushes these companies, or he wants them to go big and go crazy and grow as fast as possible. And so after that investment came, WeWork started growing at this incredible pace. And I think within that growth, they sort of lost hold of their reins a little bit. And they also had trouble driving good deals with people because it was known that they had gotten this $4 billion investment. And it was very hard for them to sort of extract perhaps the same deals that they could. And that rapid growth, they hoped that it was going to pay off someday. They didn't get, at the end of the day, a long enough runway to find out, because they were losing so much money that when they tried to go public, people just didn't buy into it.
And so after the aborted public offering, what happened to the company then? And what happened to Alan Newman?
So Adam was pushed out, but he managed to wrangle an enormous parachute for himself. After a bunch of litigation and back and forth, it ended up at about, I'm going to quote the exact numbers in the film, but I think about 500 million plus in stocks and fees, and another 500 million-ish in loan extensions. So he came out of it very well, but he was out of the company. They laid off about 3,000 or 4,000 people at that point in the fall of 2019, and they retrenched. They shed some of the businesses that he had added, some of the extraneous businesses, which were another reason they lost a lot of money. They had a school, they had a wave pool company, they had a cannabis company. They got rid of most of that and tried to refocus on their core business, which I'm sure took a big hit during coronavirus, but in some ways may be well positioned to come out of coronavirus in good shape, because I think what we're seeing in America is a lot of large companies want to shed these big offices they have and get into these more flexible arrangements. And so companies, if not WeWork, companies like WeWork may do well, and they're still around.
And I just looked at their looked at one of their websites, because they have a presence in Ireland, and you know, it seems far more sober compared to the kind of quasi-religious language that was used before.
Yeah, they lost the big events like summer camp and the summits and these things that were, you know, that some of the people characterize as kind of cult-like, where you had to go and listen to Adam and his wife, Rebecca, who was an officer in the company, and some of the others speak about how they were going to change the world in these mandatory speech sessions. Also, a lot of, you know, partying and whatnot went on. Those things were scrapped, and I think, you know, they're kind of back to a boring business that I guess if you run it well can be profitable. And that's sort of the crux of their issue, is a real estate business like theirs could be profitable, but at a much lower rate, and its valuation would be, you know, a couple times profits. Whereas when they sold themselves as a tech company, which is how Adam continually pushed them in public, those valuations can be 10 times as much. And so at the end of the day, the sort of central conflict of the story of WeWork is, were they ever a tech company? Were they just trying to be one so they could push their value up to, as you mentioned, $47 billion? It turns out, certainly at the end of Adam's tenure, they were just a real estate company.
Jed, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That's Jed Rothstein there, the director of the documentary WeWork, or The Making and Breaking of a $47 billion Unicorn. You are listening to The Moncrief Show on News Talk. We're going to take a break. After that, the largest boat rescue in history.
Moncrief on News Talk.